We're going to Uma, a Parisian Japanese restaurant right in the center of Paris, near the Tuileries Garden. You know, it used to belong to the king and queens of France. And we're going to meet 32-year-old Parisian chef Lucas Felzin.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
J'ai rendez-vous avec Lucas Felzin.
Oui, tout à fait.
Bonjour. Hi, chef.
Hi, Zenat.
So we're in your restaurant, Uma, which you opened 4 years ago. And Uma means horse in Japanese and water in Quechua, a Latin American language.
Yes.
And that's what you do, Nikkei cuisine, a combination of Japanese and Peruvian cuisine.
Yes, exactly. I want to give my customer something different. I travel a little bit, I see culture, I see people, and every time when I work with Japanese people, I see something different. And I understand that when Japanese people arrived in Peru at the 19th century, they start to mix flavor, culture. It is Nikkei cuisine.
And when, that's what you do?
It's not exactly what I do. My cooking, it's really a fusion between Japanese, Peruvian, but also French.
Because you're French?
Because I'm French.
And you work with French produce?
I work with two or three suppliers just near Paris and the other in the south of the France.
And Uma is also short for umami, which is what is now known as the fifth taste or flavor after sour, bitter, sweet and salty.
Exactly. It's really a mix between these senses. I want when people taste my food, you have a lot of sensation. I want to touch them soul, and the umami is not something that you can say is this. No, it's really a sensation.
It's a combination of different things.
Yeah. When you was a child, people eat pasta with ketchup, and the child put a lot of ketchup. Why? Because ketchup, it's umami.
So umami is something that you are irresistibly attracted to?
Yes, exactly.
And is this the reason why the customers at Uma keep coming to your restaurant? Because they've tasted umami?
I hope. I want to make this food. Why? Because I want to stop the time.
I will let you do your thing, your magic.
Sure. So we make mackerel marinated with coffee and melon. It's a marinated mackerel, and I think it's a marinated mackerel with a Nikkei marinade. It's beetroot, coffee, lemon, pepper. We put in the salt and sugar, maybe 12 hours. After we smoke, and we take out the first skin, and we cut in sashimi.
And you smoke it here on the premises?
Yes, sure. I smoke here. Because, you know, je pars du principe. Comment je sais? All that what can I make, I make.
You're constantly exploring and finding out what you can do with all the produce that exists on Earth.
Yes, if not, it's boring.
So your menu changes all the time?
Yes, it's difficult to change every time, all the time. It's difficult for my staff because sometimes I said, no, we change. We make this like this. We have a base qui évolue à chaque fois, which evolves all the time.
And it's very important to have a team that you can rely on.
Yes. Yes, because I can make nothing without them. And I make a little vinaigrette with coffee oil.
Coffee-infused oil?
Yes. We put maybe 100 grams of coffee for 1 liter of oil. And we warm at 38 degrees, maybe 20 minutes. And after we put in the freezer, we mix between 7 or 10 minutes.
You mix it when it's still frozen?
Yes, when it's frozen. Because when the fat is frozen, it libère d'autant plus de saveur.
Okay, so the frozen fat cells
yes.
will give more flavor.
Because the cells, it's explode. I make melon condiments, just melon mixed with a little bit of rice vinegar, mirin, Japanese alcohol, and mustard.
That's not mustard.
It's not mustard, it's just a flavor of mustard. It's
and
really interesting.
That's from Italy.
It's from Italy. So we put maybe 3 or 4 points. It depends of micro. You know, here you have approximately 50 grams of micro. You need to think every time at the balance of each flavors. It's really, really important.
So do you taste everything you prepare?
Yes, every time. The first thing for a cooker, it's taste every time, every day. I put 3 million cubes.
And that's for decoration or for the taste?
No, for the taste, because it's marinated in vinegar. So it's a little bit acidic. Yes.
Okay.
I put celery. Okay. It's like your pickles, you know.
Okay, like so it's pickled celery.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
I put 3. And I put olives.
Black olive.
Why? Because olive is really interesting. It's umami product because you have acidity, you have sweet, you have bitter, you have salt. It renforces the umami.
It strengthens the umami flavor.
I put a little bit of onion pickles. And to finish, I adjust just crispy rice.
Crispy black rice?
Yes.
And nothing is for decoration. Everything no. has a purpose.
Yes. I don't use something that don't...
We're not going to eat.
Yes. If not, it's boring. The last thing, it's huacatay oil. Huacatay, it's a Peruvian herbs between basil and mint. It's really, really interesting because at the end of the degustation, you have bubblegum taste, yes.
Really?
Yes, it's really, really.
And where do you get huacatay in Paris?
Not in Paris. It's my little supplier in the south of France. I hope that I only people that use here this.
Huacatay.
Yeah. Okay. It's really, really interesting. My suppliers, it's food addict. Just try to make different products.
For you?
Yes, for me. And I have so many products, just unbelievable. You know, it's an old biochemist, a biochemist in the north of America. And his wife is an anthropologist. And one day they stop all and they decide to come back in France.
So they live now in the south of France?
Yes.
He's the one who makes all this produce for you?
Yes, exactly.
Well, he's more of a friend now.
Yes, he's more of a friend now. And just near my house in the south of a friend. So I go every year to see what he makes, what he wants to make. For example, he makes papayé.
Pawpaw tree. He's growing pawpaw tree in the south of France.
Yeah. And it's unbelievable. He gave me one plant. So I have in my...
In your flat in Paris.
Yes, in my flat, yes.
Okay.
So it's really, really nice.
It's best when we're having a morsel to have the mackerel, the pickled celery onion, the melon, the olive, and the crispy black rice.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yes, all of that.
And then there's explosion.
Yes. You know, it's really important for my food to eat together. My food, it's really a spoon food.
One big spoonful.
Yes.
There's no shishi.
It's no shishi, yes, exactly. So I put, to finish, a little bit of mustard herbs to balance with the confit fruits before. So now you need to try.
I certainly will. So I'm going to use a spoon because I don't think I will be able to fit everything with the chopsticks. There's so many things happening at the same time. Because you have different textures. You have the crispy of the rice, which is being crushed onto my teeth. And then the different vinaigrette and pickled ingredients are all mixing together. and nothing is acidic, and it's the right balance in between sweetness, acidity. It's not salty, even though it's been pickled. I like it. You studied for 3 years at the École Ferrandi, one of the top culinary schools in France, and you graduated with honors in 2008. And then you went on to work with a few very well-known chefs in Paris for roughly 6 years. Yeah. That experience is...
It changed my mind. Because, you know, when you start cooking, you think that you know, but you know nothing. You start step by step. Every step is really important. Every time when you taste something, you train your palate, you train your emotion, you train your senses, and the emotion
is
the base.
And feeling is important when you're cooking.
Yes, because every dish, every plate is different. You have transfer your sensation, your sensibility, your emotion, angry or happiness.
So what if you're melancholic and sad?
It's a good question. I think melancholic or sad, it's when you have something just in the color of the plate, in the disposition of each ingredient. Maybe when it's more sweet, because you need to have more sweet when you are sad, when you are melancholic.
So now we are in the kitchen, where everything is happening.
Oh yes. So we make a specialty of this restaurant, of my food. It's gyoza.
Gyoza is Japanese or Korean ravioli.
Or Chinese. They start with Chinese. I think it's the best representation of Nikkei food for me, because we can make all that we want inside, and we can use French base to cook, French technique, we can use Japanese seasoning and Peruvian colors, you know. So it's really the mix, fusion between. So we put a little bit of oil
on the plancha,
yes, on the plancha, just to,
and then the gyoza. The gyoza have already been pre-cooked, or they're raw?
No, inside, yes.
Okay. So now the gyoza is going to cook on the plancha.
Yes. The particularity of the gyoza is that it's cooked, the steam and grill.
Okay.
At the same time. So we start to grill with the plancha, and now we put a little bit of water to make steam.
So you're steaming it on the plancha with a stainless steel bowl which is covering it.
Yeah.
This is how it's going to be steamed.
Yes. It's not a traditional way, but we make with that we have.
It cooked.
If you turn, you just grill a little bit. So I put this in the bowl. And I adjust this, my favorite stock. It's a black bean. Black bean, you know, it's a Japanese bean.
Yeah.
And I like it because they are a little bit smoke. And we make a Japanese stock with this. With a lot of ingredients like shallots, ginger, oyster sauce, soy sauce.
And again, that's your own making.
Yes, sure. All.
But how long does it take for you to create new things?
It depends. Maybe 2 or 3 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, maybe one day, I don't know. So we put a little bit on the top, not too much, if not, it's too strong.
Being the chef in the kitchen, the maestro, with an eye on everything that's going on, and especially the details.
Yeah.
How do you acquire that skill?
It's really difficult. It's really difficult because I need to adjust every time to see every time if all is okay, all is all right. But sometimes it's not perfect. It's never not good because we have always a good product, so it's every time good.
Sometimes it's not perfect.
It's not perfect, but you know, it's my role. It's my job to check if all is perfect. And I need to see if it's good. I see because, for example, I see the color of the condiment, so I know that it's okay. If you use all your senses, you can see all, you can know all. You don't need to try every time. We use the stock veal.
Veal stock?
Yes.
Okay.
Where we cook the meat.
Okay.
And we make like a tomka. You know, in the south of Asia, we have a stock with lemongrass and the other ingredients. We use a little bit here.
Okay.
And we use Peruvian curry. So we call this jus d'un curry peruvien.
The stock of a Peruvian curry.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, so you're only using the froth?
Yeah. Just a little bit of juice. And to finish, chapelure.
Breadcrumbs.
And we use a lot of ingredients.
Because it doesn't look like
no.
Bread only.
There are peppers, there are garlic, there are... I know you can try.
What is this one called?
Gyoza de veau mariné aux algues, vierge japonaise et émulsion d'un curry péruvien.
That's a long title.
Yes. You know, why make simple when we can make complicated?
That's very French.
Yes.
So, we have veal. So, and again, there's such a wealth of flavors in my mouth and textures. Once again, we have the very tender crispiness of the breadcrumbs. It's not as crispy as the rice or the corn. And then we have something which is a bit sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the frothiness actually adds a different sensation rather than just having plain stock. And then we have the ravioli surrounding everything, like it contains all the other flavors at the same time.
For me, when I imagine gyoza, I imagine when I go to my bed, you know, the shpouf.
So this is the food that brings comfort.
Exactly. It's like a cocoon.
It does give that impression, but there are so many flavors which are interacting in my mouth. They're made with at least 10, 20, sometimes 30 ingredients.
I think it's the strength of my food. I can mix lots of flavors.
You're very good at using a large number of ingredients, but finding the right balance, and that's not easy to achieve. Did it take you a lot of practice to get there?
You know, it's not a question about easy or not, it's just emotion.
Yeah, but it also needs practice.
Yes, it needs practice. But when you you follow your instinct, normally it's okay.
So you are a cuisinier de l'instinct?
I hope. I won't.
So your instinct is extremely important.
Yes.
In the way you cook.
It's a base.
And is this one of your favorites, experimenting with gyozas?
It's not my favorite. All it's my favorite. But it's kind of my specialty.
The gyoza, this is your signature dish?
Yes, because it's really a fusion between all influence, all ingredients, all that I can imagine. I can put all that I want in the gyoza. So, it's perfect.
Thank you. So your grandma had a restaurant in the south of France?
Yes, but it's before I was born. And she gave me, like my parents, the taste of food. So when I maybe start to cook at 3 or 4 years.
When you started to cook at 3 or 4 years
because,
old?
Because when I see my grandmother to cook, I go with her and I put a chair and I go up and I put a lot of inside and I go, taste. It's not really good, but it's okay, it's a first. It's like
so very early you had a taste for food?
Yeah, because I like to eat. I like to discover something new every time, every day.
Does that mean that you always knew you were going to be a cook?
I don't know. I think, yes, I know that I want to make cooking. But my parents tell me, no, you start by make today.
Your parents wanted you to finish your studies?
Yes.
So you went up to the baccalaureate?
Yes. When you make studies, you open your mind. And it's really important because I discover philosophy, I discover mathematics. When I study philosophy, I love because you start by one word and you say, what is word? And in mathematics, you have this, so why it's like this?
And you think you have the same approach in your craft, which is discovering what you can do with what is being presented to you?
Yes, I think. Because all that we make, it's made by rules. You need to follow or to bend the rule. But the rule, it's here.
Are you eyeing a Michelin star?
Oof, I don't know. I don't care.
That's not the most important thing.
For me, the most important is my customers. Yes, I have, like every cooker, I want one, two, three, 10 stars.
This is not an obsession. You don't wake up every...
No. It's not obsession. My best star, it's the star that can I see in the customer eyes.
When they're eating your food.
Yes, the best. Yeah.
Well, you're in the kitchen while the restaurant have people in. Mm. Do you have time to go in the restaurant and go and look at your customers?
I'm too much shy.
You're shy?
Yes, a little bit.
A big man like you?
Bah, oui. The customer can be a reflect of me. And I'm afraid about me.
Chef Lucas Felzin,
yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's really important for me to explain my vision, and thank you for that.